Your Giants.com multimedia program will begin shortly.
It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Manning back to throw. They pick up the blitz. Throws one left down the sideline into the end zone. Touchdown! Hakeem Nicks! Vic takes the snap again. Pumps. He's going to get sacked by Tuck. Fumbles the football. Giants have it at the 26-yard line. Draw right for Bradshaw. Cuts at the one. Goes into the end zone. Touchdown. Nice run by Bradshaw to run it in from 4 yards out. Manning will throw on first and 10. Heaves one deep down the left side for Manningham, who makes the catch, gallops out of a tackle to the 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Giants.
Now here are your hosts, John Schmelk and Lance Meadow.
Big Blue Kickoff Live, the Friday before the first regular season game between the Giants and the Washington Redskins. John Schmelk, Lance Meadow, getting ready for week number one of the NFL regular season. Of course, the first game, the big NFL kickoff celebration taking place last night. The Saints traveling to Green Bay and getting beat by the Packers in rather dramatic fashion. It was a fun game to watch. High-scoring affair, not a whole lot of defense being played in that game. Of course, that could have been predicted heading into that game, considering how great those two offenses are. And Lance, Aaron Rodgers, and Drew Brees, boy, they look like they're in midseason form. So much for the lockout hurting the offenses earlier in the year.
Well, and so much for a Packers Super Bowl hangover. How about that? I mean, Aaron Rodgers, 3 touchdowns in the first quarter alone. Certainly, they jumped right out of the gate, got that offense clicking, and caught the Saints' defense off guard. And then Brees was the one that stole the headlines late in the game, trying to drive the Saints back into that game. And it was a big defensive stop by the Packers, denying Mark Ingram the right to get in the end zone, which would have set up a potential game-tying two-point conversion. So certainly that game did not disappoint last night. It was a matchup of the last two Super Bowl victors, and clearly the NFL season off to a very strong start based on that performance between two top-notch quarterbacks.
Of course, we'll touch on that game as we move forward, as we will the rest of the NFL news. Peyton Manning had to undergo a second surgery on his neck. He'll be out 2 to 3 months. I mean, there's a good chance he probably won't be back this season, depending on where the Colts are when he's able to make his return.
Yeah, it's his third procedure in 19 months. I mean, he had one in May 23rd and then about 2 months prior. So, you know, certainly this news is not great if you're a Colts fan, especially. It's a cervical neck fusion, and they claim that this should do it. No one usually has another surgery following this procedure. I'm no doctor. I'm not trying to make those claims here. I'm just telling you what I read and what I hear.
You have a little Doogie Howser in you, Lance.
Maybe, potentially. I may have a starring role in me in the near future.
Starring? Well, I think you're pushing it a little bit there.
Well, you know, if I'm going to be the doctor, I'm not going to take the back seat here.
201-939-4513. If you want to give us a call right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com, you can give us a call at 201-939-4513. Or if you're at work and your boss is hanging around your cubicle, maybe you can't do that, you can go to Twitter. You can send in your question at hashtag GiantsChat. All things Giants football, NFL. Hey, if you want to talk about something else, you can call in about that too, whatever. We know stuff, and we'll talk about it right here on Giants.com. Lance, and obviously, I imagine the big area of concern for Giant fans right now is probably Justin Tuck's neck. He suffered a stinger in that game against the Jets, the third preseason game. He hasn't played since. The Giants did not consider it serious at the time. In fact, I remember Justin Tuck post-game after that game against the Jets. His, quote, head trainer, Ronnie Barnes, did not want me to get back into the game. He was afraid I would have another hangnail. So at that point, he did not think the injury was serious, but it has lingered. It has not healed the way he's wanted it to heal. And right now, I mean, there seems to be a serious question mark as to whether or not he'll go on Sunday. He did not sound confident in the locker room yesterday.
Yeah, you know, normally you hear the speculation from third parties, but this is Tuck speaking directly, saying, you know what, I'm unsure if I'm going to play. And when it comes to the player's mouth, you know, normally the players will try to play through as much pain as possible, and Tuck has proven that all of last season when he had some of the shoulder issues. But this is definitely a concern, and, you know, coming into the season, one of the positions that you thought you had at least the most depth at was that defensive end spot, because you have Jason Pierre-Paul, you have Tuck, you have Kiwanuka, who you could throw mix and match between the linebacker and the defensive end spot, and now all of a sudden you're going to throw likely Dave Tollefson into a starting spot if you don't want to move Kiwanuka around. So Tollefson and Pierre-Paul would be your two starters against the Redskins. You're already down O.C. Umanyora and now potentially down Justin Tuck. So it really eats into your depth chart. That's the best way to look at it coming into this Redskins game. But, you know, as Tuck said, the positive is, why try to re-aggravate it in week one You got to think long term here. I mean, remember, Kiwanuka had the bulging disc last season. When he immediately felt that there was an issue, he took himself out, went to get tests, and realized, listen, I better sit out and not try to re-aggravate this. So it's better that Tuck takes care of business, is conservative now, than have it linger and you're already in week six, week seven, where things start to get interesting and you may lose him for the rest of the season.
201-939-4513. Let's get to the phones early. We'll hit them off and all during this morning's show. Let's go to Sharif in Newark. What's going on, Sharif? How you doing?
All right, yourself?
Doing good, man. What's on your mind?
I want to know, what are the guys, what are they doing up in that office? I mean, we have, they gave away our whole front line, Boss. They gave away, Kiwanuka's hurt. Tuck is hurt. OC's hurt. They gave away Boss. They gave away Smith. What are them guys doing up there in the office? We go from being dominant at 07 in the Super Bowl, and now we're a mediocre team. What are those guys doing over there in the office?
Well, look, Sharif, you too, appreciate the call. And I don't know how you can blame the guys in the front office for Tuck getting hurt and OC getting hurt. Look, if you want to be upset that they didn't have a backup plan if Kevin Boss left, I understand that complaint. And frankly, it's a valid one, because right now they're going to be mixing and matching at tight end right now. They don't have somebody that can do everything that Kevin Boss did. That's fine. But look at Steve Smith. You know, the Eagles thought that he could play around the year. They said he'll have a small package. And all of a sudden, he's not going to play in week one. Or at least it doesn't look like he's going to play in week one. So let's let these weeks kind of play out a little bit. Remember, Kevin Boss had a couple concussions last year, too. Those injuries sometimes they can linger. You know, once you have one concussion, you're more susceptible to the next one. So let's see how those two moves play out before you go really nuts about them. Look, and I said this earlier, are the Giants as talented in those positions this year as they were last? I mean, the answer has to be no. They don't have another tight end as good as Kevin Boss. They didn't replace Steve Smith with a guy that can catch 100 passes in a year. Those are just the facts. But they do have guys with talent they think can step up and at least fill those roles adequately.
But like you just alluded to, John, you know, week 7 or week 8, we may have a different opinion on how we look at those two moves. You know, maybe somebody will make a name for themselves in the tight end spot. But I agree with you. As of right now, there's a void left behind by Kevin Boss's departure. However, Steve Smith, you know, the media is very strong when it comes to the NFL. And you hear things brewing around Philly that Smith is practicing and he's going to be in the mix against the Rams. We've got to see it before we all of a sudden jump on the bandwagon and say, oh my God, Steve Smith is fully healthy. The guy's coming off microfracture surgery. You could come up with a million other examples, and I'm not just talking about football. Amari Stoudemire went through microfracture surgery, another big name here in New York, and he didn't necessarily come back full force.
Jason Kidd, same thing.
There's a lot of athletes that have gone through this procedure and have not bounced back automatically. So I'd be very careful before you start all of a sudden making judgments saying the Giants made the wrong decision by not aggressively trying to keep Steve Smith. Let's see how many games he plays with the Philadelphia Eagles by the time this year ends.
Well, think of it this year, too. Kenny Phillips had a very similar injury to that a couple
of
years ago.
And it took him time to come back.
Remember, he got hurt in September.
Yeah.
Steve Smith got hurt in December. So that's an extra 2 months. Kenny Phillips barely made it back in time for that season last year, and he had an extra 2.5 months recovery time because he was injured earlier in the season. So like you said, especially for a receiver, and Steve Smith's whole game is coming out of his breaks quickly, being very quick on the breaks, being fast,
cuts,
being able to explode and cut. That's innate. So even if he gets back, it might take him a year or more to become the player he used to be, if he ever does become that player again. Microfracture is even worse than ACL. It's worse than a broken leg. That's a tough thing to come back from.
And listen, Phillips will be the first one to admit, John, you know, he got hurt in September, but it took him pretty much all of last season to really get
back
into
yet.
The mix.
Yeah, no question. He thinks that he's only full strength now, and he really wants to have a recovery and have a big year. 201-939-4513. Byron's out in Cleveland, Ohio. Wow. What's going on, Byron?
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing, Byron. I appreciate you. Brian, I appreciate you tuning out the Really Big Show and instead tuning in Lance Meadow and John Schmelk on Giants.com. What's up, pal?
Yeah, I was up because, see, you know, there's been this whole talk about Philadelphia and all this type of stuff and everything. And I ain't going to lie, where did the Giants rank? Because, see, I ain't going to lie, I got to rank pretty high because, you know, I'm a big fan and everything goes. I just think that, like, a lot of times that Eli needs just to settle down. We still have a solid running game, and our defense is still amongst the tops in the league. We really have us ranked that as far as, you know, really as among one of the top teams in the NFC.
Well, listen, they're certainly going to be in the mix. I mean, as far as preseason rankings, I don't like to read much into that because you can't really judge this team how they performed in the preseason because it was really a mixed bag of results. They were good at times, right, and then they were lacking at times in terms of their production. But the bottom line is, on paper, they still have a lot of weapons. There's plenty of guys on offense and defense that have big playmaking ability. Can they bring it all together is a whole other question. But, you know, we really have to see how this Redskins game plays out before you really start judging and breaking down each and every player on this roster and which free agency move went right, which one went wrong. It's just too early to tell expectation-wise. Can they be in the mix? Can they be a wild card team? Absolutely. But like I said, the jury is still out on this Giants football club.
Hey, Byron, I'll say this. I think your best point was your first one, and that's not turning the ball over. That's the best way for the Giants to improve from last year to this year. If they don't make the mistakes they made on offense, which cost them points, cost them a lot of points, they're going to be better, even if maybe they have injuries.
Eli threw way too many interceptions last year.
Yeah, 25. You can't win.
No. Because even though the year that they won the Super Bowl, even that season, even though he threw a lot of interceptions, but he still made a lot of good choices. He just made a lot of bad choices last year. You know, and I saw him in a couple of preseason games, especially the game against, what game was that? Where he threw the two interceptions he had.
The Jets game.
Yeah, he's just not reading the defense that well. You know, he's not seeing, you know, linebackers coming underneath and, you know, so that stuff that, you know what I'm saying, that you as a quarterback, you've been in this league long enough. You know what I'm saying? Those are the types of reads and stuff like that you're supposed to see.
Now, Byron, I hear you. And I think last year's reception, Byron, thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate you calling all the way from Cleveland. It was a combination of things for Eli last year. Let's not forget that probably 7 or 8 of those interceptions came off of tip passes that should have been caught. And Eli and Mario Manningham and Hakeem Nicks will admit that. And Eli's not going to throw it on him. He's not going to say it. But everyone knows 7 or 8 of those picks never should have happened to begin with. But I think especially later in the year, he had the tendency at times to throw the ball where there really wasn't a whole lot of space to get it in there. And I think he knows that. Eli Manning said that himself at the end of the year. He was disappointed with the turnovers. That's what he's going to have to fix. And he knows that. And I think Tom Coughlin knows that. I know Tom Coughlin had tons of sleepless nights last year over the turnover problem. That's a huge focus of this team this year, Lance.
Yeah,
cut down on the turnovers.
When you lead the league in turnovers, it's never a good thing. And, you know, the other thing to keep in mind is the Giants played from behind in a lot of games down the stretch last season. And once again, this is not necessarily making an excuse for Eli Manning, but when you're playing from behind, your decision-making in terms of trying to press the issue changes your philosophy. You try to squeeze in passes, maybe which you wouldn't take chances like earlier in the game. You try to press that later on in the fourth quarter. So that's another thing to keep in mind.
201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Give us a call right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. 2 days before the Giants' first regular season game against the Washington Redskins down at FedEx Field. Of course, you have all the ceremonies commemorating 9/11 before the game. A lot of first responders and families of the victims of that terrible terrorist attack that day will be down there. It'll be a very emotional pregame situation. And, of course, if you want to comment, you can also go to #GiantsChat on Twitter. Send in your questions. We will try to read them and answer them for you. And we actually have a question that came in from Carrie Go Bring. She wants to know, Lance, what do you think the Giants' third defensive tackle is going to be, and how do you expect that rotation to work at D-tackle? And I think it's going to be interesting if Tuck doesn't play in this game, how they are going to work that rotation at defensive tackle, because he does slide in there on third downs, obviously.
Yeah, well, Perry Fuel likes to mix and match situations in terms of what he likes to get production out of. You know, it's an interesting question what they'll do. I would say this. If with Tuck and Umanyora out of the mix and you got some corners, I think guys this
if
season,
Tuck's out of the mix,
if
we don't
Tuck,
know
true,
yet. Right.
It's speculation at this point. I would say that we may see a couple of guys potentially playing a little bit out of position in this game. And what I'm also interested to see is how much of the playbook will be on display in week 1, given you've had a shortened offseason and the lockout. Do you get creative in week 1 in terms of your defensive philosophy, or do you hold back and slowly implement one play after another as the weeks progress? That will be interesting just to see, and I'm also talking about offense as well, how conservative or how creative the Giants are in terms of game planning against the Redskins.
Well, more specifically to Carroll's question in regards to the third defensive tackle, the third defensive tackle they kept was Jimmy Kennedy. He's the veteran they brought in the offseason.
New York guy, too.
New York guy as well. And as he proclaimed in when he met the media for the first time, if you ask me the best defensive tackle in the league, I'm going to answer Jimmy Kennedy. So clearly not lacking for confidence. And
Roosevelt High's finest.
Yeah, Roosevelt High's finest. He's going to be the third guy in that rotation. And frankly, he's probably going to have to play a decent amount. I mean, he's a guy that's going to have to play a little bit, especially if Tuck's out. And maybe you're going to see Chris Canty play a little bit of end. He did play end in a 3-4 defense when he was with the Cowboys. I mean, you might see some of that in this game. And when Kiwanuka moves to end, it's going to be if Tuck doesn't play, it'll be interesting to see what happens, but obviously I think you'll see a lot of Canty and Linville Joseph at tackle, and on third downs you'll still see the defensive end package. You'll probably see Kiwanuka and Pierre Paul play the ends. You'll move Dave Tollefson to the defensive tackle spot to try to rush the passer, and they'll probably work it that way. But Jimmy Kennedy is technically the third tackle on the roster.
And speaking of Kennedy, John, I'm not sure how many people really know his true background. I know we joke about he being a New York native, but this is a bounce-back opportunity for him.
Draft pick
by the Rams, went to the Vikings, got a big contract, did not live up to expectations, but also keep in mind he bounced around so much and played under so many different coordinators. That was one of the reasons why he says that he has never been comfortable with the team and the strategy that he's been under. So this is really an opportunity for a guy who, although is not considered a rookie, but is in a new system, to really make a statement. And the Giants could use a guy who's third on the depth chart to come with a couple of big plays throughout the course of the season because, given all the injuries that they've had on defense, you never could go too deep when it comes to the Giants depth chart.
201-939-4513 up to the Bronx. Say what's up to Sean. What up?
Hey, what's going on, man? How y'all doing?
Hey, doing Sean, good, Sean. What's on your mind, man?
Ain't nothing much. Quick question. Well, I wanted to know, being that the Giants lost Steve Smith, and not to say that they really lost Plaxico, but I'm kind of betting that the Giants were betting on bringing back Plaxico. Do you think they're going to stick to, a run-heavy offense now this year? And if they do, you think that's going to stand out against, these big division rivals now with, the Eagles? I'm sure the Cowboy got it out for us and a few other teams, but do you think that they're going to stick to a run-heavy offense?
Yeah, sure. And honestly, I think that's a great question, and I think it's an apropos question to ask this week. I think they are going to be a more run-heavy offense this year. I think they'll go back more to the ratio they had back in 07 and 08 where they ran the ball probably a little bit more than they did in 2009 and 2010. Both Bradshaw and Jacobs are healthy. They have an offensive line that they think can punish people and run the football. I think you're going to see a lot of both guys, and this week's a good test because the Redskins' strength is their run defense. They got big Barry Caulfield in the middle. Arakpo is a very good linebacker. London Fletcher, obviously.
They brought in Bowen
in the
from
middle.
The Cowboys.
Stephen Bowen comes in from Dallas. They have a good run defense, and I think you're going to see that battle take place this week. I think the Giants want to be more of a run-oriented team this year, and you're going to see whether or not they can be that team. A good test this week against the Redskins.
But let's not forget, they did lose Smith, they did lose Boss, but it's not as if Eli Manning has no one to throw the football to. I mean, Akeem Nicks had a great campaign last season. Mario Manningham took advantage of his playing time. So, certainly they're not going to become a one-dimensional offense, but I would agree with the fact that I think there will be more of an emphasis on the running game to help set up the passing game, as opposed to maybe vice versa, because it's going to be important for Jacobs and Bradshaw to get off to a good start to take the pressure off of Eli Manning so he's not put in some of the situations he was put in last season.
Where he has to force the ball.
Where he has to force it, exactly. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. Want to hear what Giants fans have to say about the Week 1 matchup with the Redskins on Sunday. Let's head back to the lines. We've got Sonny in Sacramento, California on Giants.com. Sonny, what's on your mind?
How you doing? I just want to say this. I'm an old guy, 60 years old.
You're up
first
early, Sonny. Sonny, you're up early.
1956. What's that?
I said you're up early in the morning out in sunny Sacramento, California, man.
I'm a hard worker, man. And,
right.
I'm just going to tell you this, man. I got a lot of confidence in the Giants with these injuries. I think it's going to bring a lot of chemistry and camaraderie. I'm confident in the young linebackers. But the Giants have always been known for running the football down people's throats. And Coughlin learned under Parcells. And I want to see them establish a run. It takes a lot of heat off of Eli. But the offensive weapons they got, then they can start doing something. But the run, I think that David Boss is going to be a beast. And it seems like a lot of people are thinking along the same lines as far as running the ball first, establishing that.
Yeah, well, I mean, Sonny, listen, running the football can only go as far as how strong your offensive line is, as you just alluded to. And Basu takes over for Sean O'Hara in the center spot, had a very strong preseason. But I think the positive about the offensive line coming in compared to previous seasons is they're all healthy. And that is something that has not happened for the Giants throughout the course of the last couple of seasons. So if you have a healthy offensive line and you're not playing a game of musical chairs, Sonny, there's no reason why they should not be able to run the football.
Yeah, well, the NFC East, I think we've got the – I'm not trying to be a homer here, but I think we've got the best O-line and D-line compared to the other teams in the Eastern Division. That includes the so-called dream team.
Well, Sonny, honestly, I think you're right. I think the Giants have the best running game in the division. The Eagles more of a passing offense. Obviously, LeSean McCoy is very valuable in the passing game, but he's not your traditional power running back. The Cowboys have about 8 rookies on the offensive line right now. Their first-round pick, Teron Smith, probably is not going to play this week. The Eagles made a lot of changes on their offensive line. You saw Michael Vick get punished last year. The Redskins had trouble protecting Rex Grossman a lot last season. I think you're right. I think the Giants really, Sonny, and thanks for the call, have the best offensive line and running game in the division. Yeah. I think they do.
Which at the end of last season, you probably would have said that statement would be unheard of in terms of the Giants having the edge because of all the injuries that they had to deal with. But you're right. There's a numerous question marks for all three division rivals, both on the offensive and defensive lines, because a lot of the other teams in the division, you know, made numerous changes by whether it be through trades or through free agency. So the Giants, from a stability standpoint, come in with a lot of the big names that they had already in the system from last season. And you know what? In a shortened offseason, when you're dealing with the lockout, that's an advantage. Regardless of performance, just on paper, having guys that are familiar with the system can go a long way, given that this is a very unique circumstance that we're entering the year in an offseason that is unheard of compared to previous years.
201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. That's your phone number. If you want to send in your questions via Twitter, you can do so to hashtag GiantsChat. And this question comes into one of our loyal listeners, Jonathan Sherman. Not to slight Goff, but do you think Greg Jones in the fire might be a blessing in disguise for the future of this team? And I'll tell you, I had a chance to, you know, kind of sneak off to the side with Jesse Armstead yesterday, and he's very high on Greg Jones. Thinks he's a pretty darn good player, likes his instincts, and the kid has a lot of experience in college. You throw him in there, let's see what happens, huh?
Yeah, I mean, listen, he made a name for himself in Michigan State. And listen, the Giants don't have an option at this point. I mean, let's you know, they have to throw a young guy in the mix, given the injuries and what, unfortunately, the cards that they've been dealt. But in terms of, you know, his ability, I mean, I think he's proven that in college. You know, he's had a very strong preseason, which not necessarily is always the best indication of what's going to happen in the regular season. And listen, Tom Coughlin was up front with the media this week. He said, listen, there's going to be a learning curve. There's going to be missed assignments. It's going to happen. It's not as if they're throwing him in the mix and they're thinking he's all of a sudden Jesse Armstead, right, and he needs to prove that in game one. They understand that they need to be patient with a guy like this, but you know what? To throw a rookie in this circumstance, and remember, I threw this out yesterday, the middle linebacker is the play caller. I mean, he's the quarterback on defense. So it's not as if you're throwing a guy in there and telling him to tackle. He also sets the tone on defense. So expectations, whether or not they're high internally, from an outside perspective, it's a very tough assignment for a rookie to be thrown into the middle linebacker spot.
And Greg Jones will have the communicator in his helmet. Yeah. He will be calling the signals on Sunday. I'm thinking in the 4-3, he'll be in there in the base defense. I would not be surprised if he gets shuttled off the field a little bit in the nickel, so they limit what he has to know and be able to do. They know his strength is between the tackles, filling the holes, stopping the run. They know that's what his strength is, so they're going to use him to his strength. I'll be curious to see how the Giants handle the nickel package, whether or not they'll put maybe Deion Grant as like a linebacker and have roll stay at safety, and then you bring in a third corner in the slot. They have so many guys that can do different things, with roll being able to move to corner. Grant can do that, you know, play that kind of that quasi third safety, third linebacker spot, second linebacker spot in the case of the nickel. It'll just be very interesting, I think, who they throw out there in their personnel packages, and we all know how creative Perry Fuel can be in those.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't shy away from getting creative in terms of mixing guys in positions that we've never seen. I mean, you can see Tuck drop back in coverage. You can see Kiwanuka, you know, get involved in the pass rush from the linebacker spot, and that's what makes the Giants so deadly from a defensive perspective, because most of the time offenses don't know what Perry Fuel is going to throw their way. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. You can also send in your questions on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. He's John Schmelk. I'm Lance Meadow. Let's head back to the phone lines. We've got Stephanie in Georgia. Stephanie, you're on Giants.com. What's on your mind? Stephanie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What's on your mind, Stephanie?
Basically, like I said, I'm a diehard Giants fan. I think they can make it. You know, they can be listening to Tom Coughlin more and everything. I think they can make it to the Super Bowl because they've been a good team. They made it to the Super Bowl, what, I think, 2007, I want to say. And I think they're a really good team. It's just that they had a lot of injuries last year. Maybe, you know, I don't think they played their hardest last year, you know, just kind of a little softly. But I think this year they do pretty well. That's pretty much what I think, you know.
Well, you know, keep in mind, Stephanie, even though they had their fair share of injuries, you know, they did win 10 games last year, and like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, it's a very rare circumstance. Two teams with 10 wins were on the outside looking in at the playoff picture. Normally, you get to 10, that usually means you punch your ticket to the playoffs. That was a rare circumstance that didn't happen due to some interesting tiebreakers. But listen, they've had some injuries already in the preseason. If you're a Giants fan, you're hoping that they got the kinks out now and that this is the end of it, you know?
I tell you what, though, I like Stephanie's energy for one. She's
absolutely
fired up. And here's what I'll say to you, Stephanie, and this kind of puts everything in the NFL in perspective. It's a game of inches, and it's a very narrow, thin line between Super Bowl and what was perceived by many as a failed season by the Giants last year. The Giants had a win-and-you're-in game with the Green Bay Packers in Week 16. The Giants lost. The Packers won the Super Bowl. That's how thin the line is between not being in the playoffs and winning a potential Super Bowl.
That's a good point.
So keep that in mind moving forward here. As bleak as it might seem to some people out there with all the injuries, with Goff and Terrell Thomas and Bruce Johnson and Prince Mukamura and now Tuck,
Hold on, it's a long season.
Can
I get a pen to write all those down?
you might have to, actually.
Keep up on that.
I know, and Coach Goffin's going to love reporting on the injury report at all his press conferences, too. That's just he loves doing that. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Also, send in your questions to hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Let's go to Newark. What's up, Nick?
Hey, what's up? What's going on?
Nothing much, my man. What's going on?
I'm just here, you know, annoyed about everybody's knocking down on Eli Manning. Well, last I checked, these are two elite quarterbacks that everybody's always comparing, Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. Against Drew Brees has 7 playoff appearances, Eli has 6. They both have a Super Bowl, and they both have a Super Bowl MVP. Last year, Drew Brees threw over 20 interceptions, and I don't hear nobody tripping down his throat.
Well, he did have a knee injury in defense to Drew Brees that he was dealing with
the entire
season.
But he still did throw 20 picks.
He did throw 20.
They both threw over 30 touchdowns. Eli Manning threw over 4,000 yards. And it's crazy. Everybody's, oh, he's not elite. And then everybody's jumping on Aaron Rodgers' bandwagon because of his playoff run last year. You can't compare his to Eli. Eli went into Dallas, beat Tony Romo, went into Lambeau Field, where everybody said is unbeatable in the cold, beat Brett Favre, and then knocked off the greatest team in NFL history. You tell me whose playoff run is better.
Hey, you know what? You make great points.
Correct.
And unfortunately, I think people forget a lot of what Eli Manning, you know, did for this team. And to a lesser extent, they forgot how bad it was before Eli Manning got here. I know as a Giant fan, you remember that, don't you?
Kerry Collins, Kurt Warner, Danny Cannell, Dave Brown, Kent Graham. Like, it's crazy.
Hey, someone's just bringing their A game this morning.
Set. You know, it's crazy. I've been a fan since I was about 12 years old. It's just crazy. It's crazy.
All right, man. Appreciate the call, dude. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. No problem. Have a good one.
No, he's right, though. Look, is Eli Manning the reincarnation of Johnny Unitas? No, he's not. But few quarterbacks are. He's a top 10 quarterback in the league. You can win a Super Bowl with him. He threw for 4,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. These guys don't grow on trees, Lance. They just don't.
But, you know, it's the old story. The reason why he has faced so much criticism is it's the mentality in the NFL of what have you done for me lately. And I'm not trying to dismiss the fact that, yes, he did lead the Giants to a Super Bowl, but, you know, that was the past. You know, fans demand results instantaneously, and last year he was not able to duplicate that success. But, you know, there's a clean slate, an opportunity to start over fresh this season. And, you know, given all the interceptions and all the turnovers and all the missed opportunities last season, you would assume that the Giants are going to try to bring those numbers down. And it starts Sunday against a Redskins team that, you know, has numerous question marks. And, you know, feel free to give us a call if you have any thoughts on the Redskins, as we'll be previewing the matchup on Sunday, in which they'll be commemorating the 10th anniversary of September 11th. So it'll certainly be an emotional game down at D.C. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513.
And now we're going to have our daily fantasy report on Friday. And Mr. Melroy is going to join us, who's done a great job getting all your phone calls up today. And Mr. Melroy, first I'm going to let you toot your horn a little bit over your predictions last night, which apparently, I don't listen to the show and I'm not on it, because why would I? But apparently you made some pretty good calls last night for those playing fantasy football.
I did just
out
fine
there.
Yesterday. I just want to say good morning to Big Blue Nation out there. How's everyone doing? Dave Melroy here to give you some fantasy.
I already
introduced
you by name. You don't have to reintroduce yourself.
He can never get enough publicity.
That's true.
You know, he's his own agent.
You're like, Dave,
he's his own PR firm.
Melroy what? You know. So I did pretty well last night. We hit on some guys, talked about Jordan Nelson a little bit, obviously had about 87 yards and a touchdown, just looked really good. I think he's clearly going to emerge as the Green Bay Packers' number two guy. We talked about the Green Bay backfield really splitting, that happened. We talked a little bit about Mark Ingram. That's the only guy who I kind of missed on a little bit, thought he was going to do a little bit better, but he looked good. He was out there pass blocking, which we talked about, looked good. Obviously, pass blocking doesn't win you fantasy football championships, although it should. But it doesn't yet.
Okay.
Give them time to add that.
So basically, most people will be happy with you, except for the guys who benched Darren Sproles for Mark Ingram.
Yeah, he looked awesome, didn't he, John?
Didn't he?
Oh, he looked great. Giants could really use a guy like that.
All right, obviously, big first week of the fantasy football season coming up, Mr. Melroy, on Sunday. Obviously, some people have an early lead hanging into Sunday if they start a guy like Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees.
Oh, heck yeah, they do.
Who are some of your sleepers that maybe on another week you might not want to start these guys, but this Sunday, considering matchups, might be a good way to go on Sunday?
All right, well, let's start the quarterback position. The first guy I'm going to throw at you is Matt Ryan. Obviously, he's not such a sleeper. You probably draft him towards the later part of your fantasy draft, but this week he's going against Chicago, who's kind of lost some guys in the secondary. They're starting Tim Jennings, Charles Tillman, cornerbacks, and they got Chris Harris and whatever his name is, starting at safety.
That's the type of analysis you get from Dave
Major
Melroy.
Whatever.
You can't get this
name's
any other
not
place.
Even worth knowing.
You can't get this
anyways,
any other place.
But they have dynamic threats in Atlanta.
They have a good pass
Jones,
rush, though, the
Roddy
Bears.
White.
Bears can rush the pass.
Yeah, they do, but I like Atlanta's front five. I think they're going to hold up just fine. I think it's going to be a pretty high-scoring affair, which should lead to ultimate fantasy success for Matt Ryan and Matt Ryan fantasy owners. Another quarterback I like this week is Matt Stafford going in against Tampa Bay. Really, Matt Stafford just got dynamic weapons. He looked phenomenal during the preseason. Tampa Bay isn't quite known for their defense. They have Aqib Talib, who's good, but he's coming off some off-season troubles. I'm not sure where his head's going to be at. So I really think Matt Stafford's going to have a heck of a good game.
But, Dave, will Stafford get through the game without an injury? That is the question.
Time will tell. I think he can make it to at least the third week of the season this year.
All right, how about running backs, Melroy?
Running backs, we got a couple guys. Beanie Wells going against Carolina. Obviously, they got rid of Tim Hightower. Ryan Williams went down, so he's really going to be the workhorse for that Cardinals backfield.
Do you think Chester Taylor might be able to kind of gleam some carries off
him? Kind of late. I'm not sure week one's going to be the week for Chester Taylor to really take over any sort of real role in the offense. He could, but I think Beanie Wells is going to do just fine.
But you know what, though? Beanie Wells better produce. He better, because this is year three for him. If you're a high draft pick and by year three you're not producing, they're going to give up on you.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Just how it goes.
It's make it or break it year for Beanie Wells, no doubt. And really, if he cannot establish himself as the guy in Arizona, then he deserves to be gone.
Chester Taylor's on my eyedrop list.
I was just going to scout team.
You
took the words right out of my mouth, so I don't need to add anything to this conversation.
Three other really quick names. I love Frank Gore this week going against Seattle. I love Darren McFadden Monday night against Denver, and I love me some Reese Jones-Drew with Luke McCown now as the quarterback. They're going to be running the ball all day. Rashad Jennings is gone. They'll have Deji Kareem spelling him a little bit.
But won't they put more guys in the box, though, now that Luke McCown is the quarterback? See, yes. I'd be concerned about Jones-Drew.
You know, they will, but they've always put guys in the box against Maurice Jones-Drew. David Garrard was never a dynamic quarterback threat that anyone ever was afraid of.
But he did have the ability to run, though.
Yeah, he sure does. But Luke McCown is a little less mobile, but he's not immobile. I wouldn't be too worried about that.
A lot of Jaguars on the fantasy preview
today.
Yeah, I
wonder
today.
Why.
Yeah, nobody ever talks about him, so it's about time they get a little love. And, you know, for fantasy owners, it's about winning championships. It's not about staying with what's popular. It's about winning.
Does Jimmy Smith still have any value?
I'll tell you what. Jimmy Smith was the staple of my fantasy football team for about 8 years. I always drafted him. He was the best. All right, how about defense, tight end, or kicker? Make it quick. What do you
got? Skipping wide receivers?
Oh, I forgot about them. All right, make that quick, too.
All right. Thanks, John. All right, so quickly on wide receivers. This week, all Giants fans should love Mario Manningham. Redskins have about one cornerback named D'Angelo Hall, who should be pretty much shadowing Hakeem Nicks. So we love Mario Manningham going in this week. Another guy we like is Kenny Britt going against Jacksonville. Jacksonville's pass defense is atrocious. They only upgraded the run defense. Pass defense is still going to struggle. Another guy I love is Steve Johnson going against Kansas City. I assume Brandon Flowers will be the guy that's covering him mostly, but as we know, Brandon Flowers is kind of a 4-5-5 kind of guy. Steve Johnson's just a speedy guy. Should really be able to get past him, get a lot of yards, deep catches, bring home the championship for you this week. Going to tight end.
Championships are not won in week one, Melroy.
You obviously have never spent a lot of time coaching, Joe. No, I'm just kidding. Tight ends, let's go quickly. I love Jared Cook. Same reasons I love Kenny Britt against Jacksonville, just terrible pass defense. Another guy I love at tight end is Kellen Winslow going against Detroit. Really put together a heck of a training camp, heck of a preseason. Finally looks healthy.
He's actually played 16 games for two straight years, which you would have thought was impossible a few years ago when he had all those knee problems.
Yep, Josh Freeman's going into his second year. It should just spell good fantasy results for you if you have Kellen Winslow. Going quickly to the defenses, this week I love Houston going against Indianapolis. How can you not when they have Peyton Manning gone?
Show more respect for Kerry Collins, a giant legend, Mr.
You're
Melroy.
Right, you're right.
No, he's good.
Kerry, I apologize.
Kerry Collins had some big games last year when he came in for Vince Young. He threw over 200 yards more than seven times.
But what did he sign, like, 3 weeks ago?
He is Dallas Clark. He is Reggie Wayne. He has enough weapons. Don't sleep on Kerry Collins.
Okay, John Schmelk is saying not to play Houston's D. If you want to win, I would play Houston's D. And then finally, we're going to go back to the Giants going against Washington. I don't want to speak too bad about Washington because anything can happen in the National Football League, but if all the stars align, it should spell fantasy success for the Giants' defense against Washington.
A lot of points for sacks and turnovers, and what does Rex Grossman do? He gets sacked and commits turnovers.
Exactly, John. Anyways, that's Dave Melroy, your fantasy update. I just want to say happy birthday to John Schmelk, who turns 47 today.
Yeah, great.
And that's your fantasy update. Goodbye, everybody.
All right, Melroy, get back to screening calls at 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Give us a call right here on Giants.com. Also, send in your questions to hashtag Giants Chat. And let's go to Twitter. We got a couple questions coming in here, Lance. And Patrick McCann, a little defiant Giant fan on Twitter, he goes, "No way we're getting embarrassed this year versus the Eagles, right?"
Well, you know, I mean, listen, the Eagles have a lot of question marks, regardless of how many big weapons they brought
in. Quite frankly, we weren't embarrassed by the Eagles last year either. The Giants had a 20-point lead with 9 minutes to play in the fourth. The Giants outplayed the Eagles for 3.5 quarters of that game, and everything just happened to fall apart at the wrong time, really.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know, you got to contain Michael Vick. I think that goes without saying. But the thing on defense, you know, I mean, we could talk about all the big names that they added on offense, but, you know, defense, aside from their secondary, which is full of all of those notable names, linebacker core, very young, unproven. You know, I think they're going to have trouble stopping the run this season. So, to me, I don't think the Eagles are a guarantee, you know, to go 16-0 and beat everybody by 20 points. And I said this earlier in the week. I think the Rams is going to be a very tough test for them this Sunday because St. Louis is a vastly improved team with a new offensive coordinator in Josh McDaniels, a lot of good offensive weapons that they have in the mix, a young nucleus of receivers. You know, that could be a neck-and-neck game that could be decided by a field goal. So don't be surprised if St. Louis gives Philly a run for its money. But, you know, I'll go back. I really like to shy away from making bold statements right now. We've got to see how this Eagles team plays out over the first few weeks before we can make all of these big guarantees that they're going to be this good. Right now, I'd say absolutely the Giants can compete with Philly. I don't see any other reason why they can't.
How many times, have pundits and fans and quote-unquote experts lauded the Cowboys as being future Super Bowl champions? Whether it was when Parcells was there, when Tony Romo first became the starter, then Wade Phillips off the year that they lost to the Giants in the playoffs, and all the Cowboys this, the Cowboys that. They got all this talent. They're going to do this. it doesn't always work that way. You have injuries. You know, sometimes the talent doesn't mix right. The chemistry is not right. It's not that easy. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Giants.com. Lance Meadow, John Schmuck. Big Blue Kickoff Live. Earlier in the week, every week, the opposing coach from the opposing team joins the New York media. You heard from Barry Cofield a couple days ago. He talked to the New York media. Now we're going to hear from head coach of the Redskins, Mike Shanahan, and he was addressed by the New York media on Wednesday afternoon. Let's listen into that.
Do you expect a different look than without Terrell Thomas in the defense, without John Goff in the defense?
No. I don't expect anything different, obviously. You've always been one play away from being a starter. And, you know, guys that, when you lose a starter, guys will, you know, you get a guy like Ross that steps up. And, you know, you got, you know, just like when we lost Jarvis Jenkins, you know, you got to have, you know, the guy behind him step up. And, you know, that's the nature of this game.
Coach, so is it difficult for a team to regroup, for a defense to regroup, when it loses its starting middle linebacker so quickly to the season opener?
Well, I think you're always disappointed, you know, when you lose a not only a great player but a great leader. I said I think it's always tough, but I think you talk about that as a head coach, you know, that these things are going to happen during the season, and it's going to happen to everybody, and, you know, how do you respond, you know, when that adversity strikes? And I'm sure the Giants will obviously react accordingly.
Coach, there, in having so many new faces this year, obviously you're sort of changing the culture there, but is there also some chemistry that still needs to be forged? Do you still feel like everyone's sort of feeling each other out?
Well, you know, I think anytime you get ready for the regular season, you always got to go out and prove yourself what type of football team you are. So regardless if you're young or old or inexperienced, it's people working together and people going out on game day and showing people, you know, what your football team's like. And, you know, some teams a little bit younger, or some organizations, you know, getting new head coaches, trying to put a certain direction in which their team is going. I think it's just, you know, part of new coaching staffs coming together.
How about to you? Does the tenor of your team feel different this year, though? Does the attitude seem different?
I think, from your first year to the second year, I think it's usually a big change because you know what type of people fit your system. You know what people you want to bring back from the previous year. So usually your feel for a football team in the second year is much different than your first year where you're trying to feel people out.
At the beginning of free agency, you went hard for Barry Cofield. What stuck out to you about him during his time at the Giants, and what made you think he can transition to an entirely new system?
Well, Barry's a football player, and you know he's such a character person that he's going to fit in any system. And I thought, he played very well for the Giants. I'm very impressed on how they play defensively since I've been here, you know, with the Skins. And Barry was a big part of that defense, and I thought it was one of the reasons why they were very successful and one of the reasons why we went after him.
The top kick returner here is Devin Thomas. Why didn't you think it didn't work out in Washington, and how much did you get a chance to know him during his time there?
I got to know Devin pretty good. He's a really good person. He's got a lot of ability. I'm going to wish him well because I'm fond of the guy, the way he handled himself, how hard he worked. And you've always got to make decisions that are very tough in any organization who's going to make your football team. I'm just not wishing him luck this weekend.
You know what's funny, though, Coach, is that he says what drives him here is you asking him, are you really working hard? Do you remember that conversation?
Yeah, I just told Devin that if he wants to stay in this league, he's going to have to be a pro. And, it's going to have to be a full-time job for you. It can't be a part-time job. You know, I talked about his ability and what I thought he had to do to stay in this league, and obviously he's doing it.
So when you as a coach hear that an opposing player says he's driven by those words, what does that make you think, or what does that do for you?
Well, it makes me feel good because, you know, I like Devin as a person, and I thought if he ever decided that he wanted to be a true pro, that he had all the athletic ability in the world, and just to make the Giants team shows you that he's doing things the right way.
Coach, there's been plenty of discussion around here about Eli Manning. both what to expect out of him this season and what he did last year. Do you think of Eli as a 25-interception quarterback?
No, Eli's an excellent quarterback. You know, one of the things about being a quarterback in this league, that if you don't have a, you know, playoff-type year, if it's a Pro Bowl or you take your team into the deep in the playoffs, you know, there's always going to be the question marks on, you know, what can he do for this organization in the future. The organization that I've been with, every year it's the same. And when you don't go to the playoffs, you know, people are going to be looking at the quarterbacks. That's just the nature of this business. I think Eli showed everybody what he did in that Super Bowl. He won a Super Bowl, and I'm sure he's looking to get back to that type of play.
So what factored into your decision to go with Grossman over Beck as your starter this season?
Well, just basically open competition. And we've got two guys that I believe in, two guys that I believe can play in this league. It was very close. I thought Rex just edged them out, but I believe in both players.
That's head coach Mike Shanahan of the Washington Redskins talking about the decision to go with Rex Grossman over John Beck. And both guys really played fairly well in the preseason. Beck had that one really eye-opening game where he played extremely well. I guess they figured, at least for now, Rex Grossman gives him the better chance to win. But if Coach Shanahan is to be taken at his word, which, you know, these coaches, they do coach speak, they give their own players confidence, so, you know, you don't know what the actual truth is. But if you take him by his word, they still think that John Beck could be their future answer. And I think Grossman, if he plays poorly, even at halftime on Sunday, you could have a very quick hook. If you think back to Shanahan in Denver post-Elway, he did not mind switching quarterbacks during those Brian Greasy years. He really didn't.
Oh, we'll be seeing John Beck by the time this season ends. I can guarantee you that. Shanahan certainly likes to mix and match his quarterbacks and has a very short leash on them. I mean, listen, he pulled Donovan McNabb for the last two games of last season to experiment and see what he had on his roster going into this year. But, you know, I was a little surprised with the decision. I understand going with Grossman because he's got more veteran experience, but and maybe I'm just reading too much into the reports, but, you know, they acquired him from the Ravens, Beck. I'm telling you, Kyle Shanahan could not have been higher on a guy if you just listened to him all throughout the lockout. And they were investing so much in him in terms of time and scouting. I really am a little surprised that they didn't hand him the offensive reins.
Someone was playing those Kyle Shanahan cuts on Sirius NFL Radio.
Apparently, yeah, somebody was. Somebody was listening a little too closely to those cuts.
201-939-4513, that's your phone number. We got about 10 minutes to play with here. Give us a call on Giants.com. Or you can send in your questions to hashtag Giants Chat. Let's go to George Leard, Lance. George wants to know, how do you think the Giants can improve on third down conversions? And this is something that Tom Coughlin has spoke about a lot this year. Eli Manning spoke about it a lot this year. The Giants were actually one of the worst teams in the league last year converting on third downs, especially on third and long. And it's hard to really put your finger on the problem to fix that, but it's an issue they have to fix if they want to succeed offensively.
Well, certainly you're not going to have success if you're in third and long situations, because clearly the goal is to be in a manageable third down. So that's the first goal right there. The decision-making on first and second down can only help your cause on third down. So I think that's the easiest decision in terms of improving on that category. But, you know, the bottom line is Eli Manning's decision-making certainly plays a role. And also, I think the play calling somewhat. You know, maybe the play calling more so on first and second down to avoid being in those third and long situations, deciding to run the ball when it's right to run and pass the ball when it's right to pass.
No, remember,
and I know Kevin Gilbride has gotten some criticism in that department.
The play calling is as much in Eli Manning's hands as it is in Kevin Gilbride. Remember that, because Eli has given two plays on every single play, run or pass, and they've given him the freedom, and rightfully so. He's one of the smartest quarterbacks in the league to make that decision to go run or to go pass. So I know Giant fans like to kill Kevin Gilbride a lot and get on him. Half the time, you don't know if that's Eli making the call or the coach. So it really is, I think, sometimes hard to tell. But like we spoke about, Lance, I expect the Giants to run a lot more first and second down to get into those third and short, third and medium.
Which is going to mean more success for the Giants. The bottom line is if you avoid the third and nines, the third and 12s, the third and 15s, you're going to be in a situation where you're not putting as much pressure on Eli Manning to make a big type of play.
Lance, as we close out the show here, I always like to go around the league a little bit. Obviously, it's week one. You have a lot of very important matchups this week in the NFL. And I know we mentioned it very briefly earlier, but let's get into a little bit more detail. Peyton Manning is going to be out for 2 to 3 months. Obviously, his consecutive game streak is going to come to an end.
So
that
his
means
brother now is...
Now, Eli Manning owns the consecutive game streak. He luckily has avoided the injury bug that has plagued this entire building. And how do you think the Colts are going to manage? You know, a lot of people think, you know what? It's not their offense. It's not their system. It's Peyton. He's everything. I guess we're going to find out now whether or not that's true.
You mentioned earlier in the show, you know, Kerry Collins, I know a lot of people are not necessarily high on him, but, you know, he was a productive quarterback last year.
He was.
When he took over for the Titans, and the numbers prove that, and he made the Titans competitive down the stretch. So, you know, he's got so many weapons around him, it would stun me, as good as Peyton Manning is, that Kerry Collins can't be somewhat productive with this offense. Granted, they don't have a very strong running game, so I think that's going to hurt them tremendously. There are a lot of question marks on the offensive line. But I think what's going to kill the Colts, more so than on offense, is defense. I mean, they lost a couple of guys to free agency. That's never been a very strong point on them. So Collins is probably going to be playing from behind, and it's going to hurt them more from a defensive perspective than it is missing Peyton Manning.
Well, how many warts did Peyton Manning cover up? I think that's really the question you have to ask. Is Peyton Manning that good that he made you realize and forget all the faults that team might have around them? And I think now, as solid as a backup as Kerry Collins might be, you might see some of those cracks become a little bit deeper. You might see those warts become a little bit more obvious.
Well, listen, if you have 2 minutes on the clock, I can't think of a better quarterback other than maybe two or three others that are better than running the two-minute drill and getting a team in position to win a game. I mean, Peyton Manning is probably the best at doing that. Is Kerry Collins going to duplicate that and mimic that? Probably not. He's not nearly as good of an option. That goes without saying. But I still would not be stunned if the Colts are productive offensively. I mean, I think a lot of people think the Colts are now going to be putting up 9 points a game. You know, they're going to be making field goals. They're going to get into the end zone. Reggie Wayne, Dallas Colts. I mean, do I have to list the weapons on this team?
Apparently you do, because a lot of people have no faith in the Colts offense here to do anything.
But there is one guy, though, that we should be talking about.
Who's that, Lance?
The one guy that I think really gets hurt in this entire situation. He's a former Giant. You know, he was paying his dues for so many years behind Peyton Manning, and Manning, for the first time in his career, finally gets hurt. And where is Jim Sorge right now? That's what I want to know. Where is Jim Sorge? Please find Jim Sorge. Okay, the man made
really
so much money with the clipboard, and now is his golden opportunity to earn his paycheck and make a name for himself. And Jim Sorge is no longer in Indianapolis.
No one could wear a headset and hold that clipboard quite like Jim Sorge. That's true.
And another interesting debate, which we were discussing during the break, is if Sorge, let's say, was still the backup, would they have brought in Kerry Collins?
You know what? That's a good question. I tend to think they had a lot more faith in Jim Sorge than they did in Curtis Payton. That's for one. But you know what? Sorge is used to the system. He was really there. He understood it. I think they would have stuck with Sorge and not gone out and gotten Kerry Collins. That's my feeling. Obviously, there's no way for me to know that. Bill Polian, obviously, I can't get inside that guy's head. But
Sorge, by the way,
it would have been interesting, though, to see how they would have handled it.
Sorge, by the way, has the best Week 17 record in all time in NFL history. I mean, nobody can perform better in Week 17 than Jim Sorge.
All right.
Thought I'd add that.
I want to go through some of these other matchups here, Lance, in week number one, pick out some of the ones that really might have some future impact. I think one interesting game to see, especially because the Giants will be taking them on in their home opener on Monday night next week, is to see how the Eagles do against the St. Louis Rams. You got Sam Bradford in year number two. You have an improving Steve Spagnuolo defense, and obviously I'm never going to call them the dream team, so don't expect me to, by the way. And the Eagles are going in there with a lot of expectations, and we'll see how they do in their first game this year.
I'm very high on the Rams, John. You know, I said it earlier in the show. I think they've got a lot of firepower. They got a young nucleus. Oh, how about this tight end, Lance Kendricks, who's getting a lot of publicity? I mean, they're really high on him. And Spagnuolo, I think, has done a phenomenal job reconfiguring that defense. They've come a long way. You know, this is a Rams team that, granted, does not play in the toughest division in the entire NFL, but
They play in the easiest division in the NFL. Let's just lay it out there nice and easy.
If we're going to make it obvious, then I'll let you speak for me on that department. But I really think that the Rams are going to give a run for the money against some of these other top-caliber teams, and they're going to get a good test against the Eagles, and they're not going to waste any time. They'll immediately play the Giants the following week.
Yeah, and I think it'll be interesting to see. Obviously, they have Steven Jackson, but a lot of the Rams' season is going to depend on what kind of progress Sam Bradford made in year number two as a quarterback.
Well, really. they did bolster the offensive line a bit. They mixed and matched a couple of guys there too. So I think that'll only help. And listen, if Steven Jackson stays healthy, you know, that's a 1,000-yard rusher you got behind you that you're handing the football off to. That doesn't hurt by any means.
We're going to see Kevin Cobb make his debut in Arizona against the Panthers, against another quarterback that's making his pro debut, Cam Newton. I think, are you in agreement that it's going to be a bit of a rough start at the beginning of the year for Cam Newton?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, based on what I saw in the preseason, it's not going to be smooth sailing for Cam Newton. And the one thing that I point to is, unfortunately, he just does not have a lot of firepower around him. He's going to lean on, I'll tell you, D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart are going to take
Steve
the
Steve Smith still. Steve Smith still has some big playability.
Well, I mean, but Steve Smith is going to be double-teamed left and right throughout the course of this. There's no other receiver that takes the pressure off of him.
Patrick Jeffers, maybe bring him back?
Well, you've really done some studying in your depth charts,
You know what? They
did bring Greg Olsen in, though. So, he has at least one guy.
You remember that one big year Patrick Jeffers had, though, like 6 years ago? And he had that monster year heading into the postseason that we never heard from him.
Was he on the add or drop list then?
He might have been. Right. The other game I think is actually pretty interesting, Lance, that I definitely want to keep an eye on. Well, two others, really. Minnesota and San Diego. And we get to see if the Chargers will get off to another slow start. They're actually big favorites in this game. And the Vikings have reworked their offense and their quarterback situation again. We'll see how that works out.
The Chargers' special teams. I mean, that's what held them back last year.
No question.
You know, and
Leon Washington had that big special teams game against them last year.
He had two touchdowns against them. And the bottom line is you don't have Darren Sproles, so, you know, you lose a key weapon in the return game. But defending on special teams just annihilated that squad last year. But they have plenty of offensive firepower. They improved their defense. They brought in Takeo Spikes from the Niners to solidify the linebacker spot. So the bottom line is the Chargers have everything on paper to click.
But they do every year.
Yeah.
They always do.
But if there's anything to pinpoint, though, what held them back, it wasn't offensive or defensive struggles. They must have given up.
Yeah,
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think they by far gave up the most special teams touchdowns.
No question. And it really killed them all year long. And I know a lot of people were down on him too, but I think McNabb's going to have a pretty good year in Minnesota. I really do. I think him and Adrian Peterson will support each other pretty well, and I think McNabb will do better than probably any other quarterback. One other game, Lance, that I'm keeping an eye on, and it's the game that I'm not going to be able to watch because I'll be on a plane with the rest of the – on a train, rather,
train.
With the rest of the team
train,
coming back from
cars,
D.C.
What you,
trains, it's automobiles,
which
Lance.
Excuse
come on.
Me, I know.
And we'll be heading back from Washington that Sunday night game between the Cowboys and the Jets. And, frankly, I think the Jets have a big advantage in this game. The Cowboys are going to battle with probably three rookies in their starting offensive line.
And
their starting left tackle, who is going to be a rookie, their first-round pick, Teron Smith, probably not going to play. So you have another rookie, Parnell, who's only played football in college for a year. He's going to be playing right tackle for them against the Jets team that likes to blitz all the time. To me, if I'm Dallas, if I get Tony Romo out of this game in one piece, it's a win.
Are they giving him extra padding on the clavicle for this game?
Dude, clavicle, knees, head, ribs, you name it. He should walk out there in a
big
Barney suit.
They may have to do that.
I mean, that could get really ugly for that Cowboy offensive line in that game, the way the Jets like to blitz.
Oh, absolutely. With that pass rush, that could spell trouble. But like you said, I mean, the other thing that's going to kill the Cowboys is the fact that they could be down their top two corners.
Yeah, Newman's definitely not going to play, and Mike Jenkins is questionable. Well,
so,
hurt his knee in practice.
You know, and granted,
week.
Mark Sanchez has had his ups and downs, but with that receiving core around him, I mean, if this is not a good enough excuse for him to excel, I don't know what is.
No question. You know what bothers me, honestly? People talk about the brother matchup, Rex and Rob Ryan. When did Rob Ryan ever have the past record and success that Rex Ryan did before he became head coach of the Jets? Granted, he didn't have a lot of talent in Cleveland. He didn't have a lot
but
of talent in Oakland.
He did turn around
but
that squad.
Rex Ryan was a monster in Baltimore. He had some of the best defenses in the history of the league. And I don't want to hear these two guys in the same sentence until Rob Ryan actually proves something.
What, they've been comparing the two? I just think it's the brother rivalry. I don't know if it's so much about talent.
You might be right.
Maybe equivalent, but
I don't know. It seems like people are trying to, you know, make Rob Ryan into his brother before he's earned those stripes.
Well, I think Rob Ryan's also trying to mimic his brother. You can see he's a lot more talkative now that he's in Dallas. You know,
honestly, I just think that's the way the Ryan sons are.
Well,
honestly, I think Buddy, that's how they grew up.
Like father, like son.
A lot of yappy. A lot of yapping.
Right. Back it up, though.
All right, Lance. 2 days away from the home open for the season opener, excuse me, for the New York Giants. We appreciate it as always.
Absolutely. It was a blast.
And that's all the time we have for Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. He's Lance. I'm Schmelk. Thanks to Melroy. We'll see you next time on Giants.com.